Good to see everyone. I don't know why y'all sitting so far back. I'm telling you, I almost can't see where you at back there. Y'all may have to wave at me and let me know you're there. But then I can't see those at home either. But I tell you, somebody that does. And His name is Jesus.
Amen.
He knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through.
Yes.
And He cares.
Yes, He does.
There's a lot of people, they don't know what we're going through. And worse than that, they don't care.
Right.
But I'm glad we serve a God that cares.
Amen.
For
Amen.
Us. And He's doing everything for us. And will continue to do so. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to open them to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 18. If you found your place to Jeremiah chapter number 18, say amen.
Amen.
Let's look in verse number 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. And there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Father, would you help us today as we look into your word, that it would be a profit to us, a benefit, to help us live better lives for your name's honor and glory. And Lord, if there's one here that's lost, may they come to know our heavenly potter before this day is through, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Israel was a rebellious people. They would go astray from what God's plan was for them. They would go away from God. And God would send judgment to them, and they would come back. They would come back to God and come back to His will and to His way. And eventually, again, they would go astray. They would go away from God. That was repeated over and over and over again throughout most of the Old Testament. They just would not stay faithful. And during those times that they were faithful, God's blessings were evident and real upon their lives. But as we look here in Jeremiah, this is a time when the nation has gone away. It's a nation that's in captivity. But the remnant that is left has still got God's man there. And Jeremiah was a prophet to that remnant. And he's been told by God here in verse 2, look what it says, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Jeremiah has a instruction to do something for God, and Jeremiah always wanted to follow the will of God for his life. He does what God tells him to do. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Now Jeremiah had the word of God, the instruction of God to do something. And every one of us, even though we're not Israel, let me just clear that up. We are God's church.
Amen.
And just like Israel of old, sometimes we don't do what God tells us to do. And we go astray. And so, even though this passage is not directly to us, there is an application that can be made towards us. And he tells Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house. And Jeremiah has a choice to make. He can either stay where he's at, or he can do what God tells him to do. And you know, that's the way we are in our lives too. God has something He wants us to do for His honor and glory. And if we're of a mind not to do it, then we won't hear what God has to say next. He said, I got a word in verse 1, but then in verse number 2, He says, you'll hear my words again when you get to the potter's house. And so likewise, when we don't do what God wants us to do, we may never hear what God wants to tell us to do next. If we won't do what He's already told us to do, we're probably not going to hear again until we get busy in doing what He wants us to do. And so, look at verse number 3. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And I just want to preach a little while this morning out of verse number 6. The Bible says there, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. I want to talk a little while about the clay in the potter's hand. I was up in the state of Indiana in a missions conference, and on the Saturday, we all went out to various places, passing out tracts and just witnessing. And we went down to a little place called Metamora. It's a craft little community. And there was various people there doing woodwork and blacksmith work, and there was a little potter's shack there. And so I went in, and I was praying about and thinking about this passage of Scripture, and I asked the little lady, the potter lady, I said, do you have some clay that I can buy from you? And she said, I got lots of works of clay. I said, yes, ma'am, but I want just some clay, some old, ordinary clay. And so she said, yeah, I'll get you some. So she went and got me a little ball of clay. And then I said, do you have something that you've just given up on? You don't want to mess with anymore. I said, I'd like to have something like that. And she said, oh yeah, I got a lot of that. And so she said, I'll get that for you. And I said, and then I want to buy a finished piece, something that you like. And she said, oh yeah, I got that. You can look around. And she had a room full of finished product. And so I got all of that. And the verse, behold as the clay is in the potter's hand. And this is not that piece of clay. That piece of clay got hard as a rock. And so I had to get me some new clay. But the clay, you know, the Bible teaches that we are but dust. We're just clay, folks. There's nothing special about us. We're just old, ordinary clay. Except for one thing, God breathed into us the breath of life. He gave us life. And so we're just clay. But notice where the clay is in this verse. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand. Now there's a lot of good stuff in that verse. It's wonderful today if you are saved. What are you? We're just clay in the potter's hands.
Yes.
He's got His hands on us today. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, praise God.
The position, number one, the position of the clay. We're in His hands today. He's touching us. Now, I've got this piece of clay. It's just an old, ordinary piece of clay. There's nothing very special about this clay. It's just clay. But when it's in the potter's hands, there's a lot of good things about it. I'm not a potter. I don't even profess to be one. But there's something that a potter does. I've been to those places and watched the potter work on a piece of clay, and it's an amazing thing when he's got that clay on the wheel. He is working with it. And I'm honest with you today. I'm glad to know that the potter's hands are on my life.
Amen.
And that he's working on me.
Amen.
And the old song that the kids used to sing that Brother Joel Hemphill wrote, it says like this: He's still working on me.
Amen.
To make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet, I'm an unfinished part. But I'll be perfect just according to His plan, fashioned by the Master's loving hands. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. I'm glad He is. Now, I've watched those potters. You know, the potter's got his hands on that piece of clay. And he invariably will start and he'll work on the inside of that work, that piece of clay, as it's on the wheel. And he's got it turning. He's got some water that he's putting on it to make it a little more pliable. And by the way, let me say this. I've got this piece of clay and it's in a baggie. There's a reason it's in a baggie. Because if I didn't have it in the baggie, I'd be covered in it. But listen, we serve a heavenly potter. And we're not in a baggie. He's got His hands on us. And He's touching us. And sometimes, you know, He's touching us on the inside. And while I'm talking to y'all, I'm messing with this piece of clay. I'm doing things to it. I'm pressing on the inside of it. And it's pliable. You know, that's what God does to us. When the preacher's up preaching, and he's preaching away on sin or on a great doctrine of the Scriptures, like Brother Brewer was preaching this morning in Sunday school, there were some things that when he said those things, something on the inside said, that's right. What's happening? That I call that pressure. Pressure. The pressure of the hands of the potter. He's impressing upon us. And you know, when that potter's messing with that piece of clay, he's leaving an imprint on it. Now, you can't see on the inside what that potter's doing when he's working on the wheel on that clay. But he's messing with that inside, and he's sort of raising the wall. And this morning, Brother Charlie talked about how that He's made us to sit together in heavenly places. You know, I thought about that, Brother Brewer. I said, man, God's done some great things. He's raised us up. And He's marked us up. And He's lifted us up from what we used to be. He's doing that from the inside out. And we call that inside pressure that we feel from time to time, the conviction of the Scriptures. When they preach that word, the Bible says it will not return void, but it will accomplish what it's meant to accomplish. And so that pressure of the potter's hands, and we sit there sometimes and we cry, or we'll say amen, or we might say, oh me, when that pressure gets on us real good. But it's just on us. And we sometimes we're, what was that? And he's just trying to get us to where he wants us to be. You see, we're in his hands. He's working on us. But then I know you've seen it and I've seen it too. After a while, that potter's got to start working on the outside to form the design he wants to see. And so I call that the circumstances of life. It's that outside pressure. Sometimes we don't understand why things happen in our life. This week, one after another has had a positive test. We don't understand all that. We don't know why it happens to good people. But we can rest assured that our Heavenly Potter is doing all things for our good.
Amen.
And he's working on the outside. Sometimes that's not pleasant when God's trying to get us to where He wants us to be. The potter said, "Behold, as the clay is in my hand, the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." So are we as the church of the living God in His hands today. We're His property. He has the right to do with us whatever He wants to do. We belong to Him. And I've yet to see, Brother Brewer, when a potter's got a piece of clay on the wheel, the potter does not decide what it's going to be. The potter does. The clay is just there. And whatever the potter decides to conform that clay to be is what it is. So it's the clay and it's in the potter's hand. I want to sit that right there. But look back at verse number 4. The Bible says, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter." And we like those vessels. We've got some works. We were in Arizona last year, and on the way back from visiting one of our churches out there, we stopped at a trade show that the Native Indians had, and we purchased a piece of pottery. And we love those things. We have it now at the house. It's in a display case. When we're dead and gone, our family comes to sort through our belongings. They're probably not even going to give that piece of pottery a second thought. But to us, it was pretty. It was beautiful. And you know, I've been preaching this message for quite some time, and I was visiting a dear friend of ours, Brother Joe Bryant. He's an evangelist. And Dr. Bryant, I asked him, I said, "Help me out here. What is so important about a vessel?" The Bible says here in verse number 4, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter." And it's not the potter's fault that there's some imperfections in the clay, that there might be something in there that needs to get out. It's, if you want to call it that, you can say it's sin. And God's got to work that out. And we get marred from time to time because of sin. We're marred. And until we get right, We're no use. Brother Joe Bryant said, Brother Smith, the most important thing about a vessel is what it can contain. And may I say to you this morning, a marred vessel has lost some of its capacity to hold anything. Oh, it looks good, doesn't it? I mean, it's a nice. I got this from Mr. Robert Elwine in Pigeon Forge at the pottery there. I called him on the phone. I said, I need a piece that just you've given up on or something like that. I said to him, same thing I said to the lady there in Indiana. And he said, well, come on by. I'm sure I got something. So he put my name on this piece, and I went by, and he said that you can have it. I'm through with it. I said, I'll gladly take. No, it's not much. Well, there wasn't really anything wrong with it till I got a hold of it. But you know, the purpose of an illustration is so it will conform to the illustration. So I drilled a hole in it. Y'all look there. I can see y'all. This nice vessel will not hold anything liquid. Why? It's got a hole in it. You can put water in it, coffee in it, Diet Coke, or even better yet, Diet Dr. Pepper. But it will not hold it. Why? It's got a hole in it. It's marred. What caused that? A drill. I drilled a hole in it. But you know, it looks good. Everything looks fine with it. Until you want to put something in it. And you know, as believers, sometimes we look the part. We dress up on Sunday.
Come on, brother.
But we got holes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're no good to anybody. With those holes. What can you do about it? Well,
I'm glad you asked. Here's what we do.
We know we're marred. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. We're still saved. We're still a child of God. But there is a mar. There is a vessel that has got some imperfections. So what do? We just dress up the outside. Every Sunday, morning and night, Wednesday nights, special meetings, we get up and we put on our best. And we come to church.
Come on, brother.
But we know we're marred. You see, because on the inside, we're just broken pieces of clay. We've been messed up. This is that piece that lady gave me in Indiana. That piece that was no good. For a while, it was something similar to that. But one night I went to preach this message and I reached in to pull that out and it cracked up like you've seen it. And I thought, oh, there goes my illustration. But not really. We're broken people.
Yes.
Only God can fix us.
Yes.
But we try to do our best and we just dress ourselves up. We're still just clay. I asked that lady in Indiana, I want to get a piece that you're finished with. And she said to me, Preacher, I can give you that, but I want you to know, if I wanted to, I could go back and work again with it. And I looked at that and I said, how in the world? I mean, it had a massive hole in it even before I touched it and messed it up further. And she said, if I put some water on it, it will become pliable again in my hand. And so, Scripture came to mind. Turn to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Ephesians 5. Verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." He's our heavenly potter. He loves us. He wants the best for us. "That he might sanctify it." Don't get scared about that word sanctify. It just means to set apart. It means to put up for special use, to hold aside. And look at this word, "and cleanse it." The potter, he's working on that clay and it's marred. So he has to put more water on it and to mold it, to make it do. And some of the clay I've had over the years preaching this message, in that little box back there, it gets real hard. I mean, and I can't even dent it. It's so hard. And Miss Denise, you know, your wife can preach a better sermon to you sometimes than you can preach yourself. She looked at me and she said, "Well, you've been preaching about how to put water on it. Why don't you try that?" And so I did. And you know what? That piece just got as pliable again. And I could touch it and make it do. And I thought, man, who would have thought that the preaching is true? That it is true. But look at this, that he might cleanse it. Listen to this, "with the washing of the water by the word."
Amen.
You know, sometimes we get so brittle and not easy to work with. God's still wanting to mess with us and to have us shape up and look up and look right. What's going to help us? Not to run from God, but to come to God. Back to the Word. That water of the Word of God. And when it is applied, we start feeling better about it. And we're not so mad with the preacher anymore, because God's our heavenly potter and he's putting the water on us of the Word of God. That's where faith comes. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so, instead of just trying to dress up the outside, we need to come back and say, "God, get me back on the wheel. Put a little more water on me." Why? Because God has something in mind that He wants us to be and to do for Him. Look at that next verse here in Ephesians. "That He might present it to Himself, a glorious church." You know, folks, that piece of clay don't look like much. But one of these days, hallelujah, if I can get it out of here. There's coming a day when everything's going to be done. It's going to be over. And God's going to be presented with us. Our heavenly potter's going to put us out for display. I think Brother Brewer was talking about it a little bit this morning. One of these days we're going to be trophies of grace. And God's Even though He knows where He found us, He knows what we've been through. We've gotten holes. And we've tried to do the best we could with ourselves, but wasn't good enough. We get back on the wheel. God cleans us up. Look what it said, verse 4 again, of Jeremiah chapter 18. I'm going to turn there because I don't want to misquote it. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel. He didn't do away with the clay. He just reworked it. He fixed it. So he made it again another vessel. Why would we be scared of what Jesus wants to do with us when all that he wants to do is what's right? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. This morning, every one of us, we're not much. We're just old clay. We're in the potter's hand. Hallelujah. And what he wants to do with us is to get us to that place where one day, he can present us. I don't understand how he can do that. Because I know Jerry. But he's able. That lady in Indiana that day, I said, I want to buy something that you've made. That you're proud of. That you like. And so she went and didn't go in the back room, back on the back shelf and under a whole bunch of clutter. She walked over to the display window and she picked this off the shelf. And she said, if you're willing to pay the price, and I said, I will. One day, our heavenly potter went to the shelf and he picked up the potter, the clay, and he was willing to pay the price. And she didn't show me the price that day. But listen, our heavenly potter knew exactly the price that he had to pay for you and me. And I am so thankful that he was willing to pay the price. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. And we as the church today, we're in the potter's hands. And I beg you, let him do with you whatever it is he wants to do. Because one day he's going to make a presentation to his heavenly Father. And we're going to be trophies of his grace. Would you bow your heads with me this morning?